A study released today found that technology has made it easier for mankind to get more annoyed than ever. The American Psychological Association found that the prevalence of technology in our everyday lives has nearly doubled our ability to get frustrated by the slightest inconvenience, like losing service on your cell phone or having to install new updates on your laptop for the third time this week.
The frustrations are constant. Pointless Facebook messages from your aunt, endless push notifications, Word documents unexpectedly quitting. Honestly, we could reach a constant state of annoyance within the next generation.
Competition. It's one of the things that makes America great, right? We live in a meritocracy, meaning you will go far in life as long as you work hard enough, or practice hard enough, or embezzle hard enough, or inherit daddy's money hard enough. Just the other day, I was in line to get on an aeroplane, and even though we have assigned seats, I took part in the proud American tradition of quietly and subtly trying to get on the flight before everyone else, because that's how we prove we're better than them, okay? So I skillfully knocked over some old ladies, elbowed out a few toddlers, and blocked a pregnant woman. I was the first person on that plane from boarding group 3. Of course, the plane was already half full because other passengers had paid $50 to pre-board. And this is how competition works in America. You fight to the death to get the pieces left over after the rich have gotten theirs. You see, we are a meritocracy with an asterisk. It's a meritocracy divided by wealth, minus cronyism, minus what level lawyers you can afford, and then subtract being white. And whatever is left is a meritocracy! Healthy, right? Yeah! Yeah! Healthy competition has brought about innovation in this country for hundreds of years. For example, Nikola Tesla competed with Thomas Edison in the War of the Electrical Currents in the 1800s. Edison created direct current, or DC, while Tesla created alternating current, or AC. This competition to power America was so healthy that Edison helped convince the state of New York to use his opponent's AC power for the first electric chair, so that the public would associate AC power with frying people to death. In the end, the more affordable alternating current prevailed anyway, while its inventor, Tesla, died penniless. And that's how American innovation works. You crush the other guy and tell the country that his invention is used to kill people. This is also how Lucky Charms beat out its lesser rival, Marshmallow Mateys. Lucky Charms put on their box won't cause gut rot or hanging until dead like Marshmallow Mateys do. And it worked. Look, I'm not trying to say competition is all bad, but as is pointed out by the Zeitgeist movement, the competitive system seeks secrecy when it comes to business ideas, often universally against the open flow of knowledge. The use of patents and proprietary rights or trade secrets perpetuates not an advance of innovation, but retardation. How odd it is for anyone to rationally claim ownership of an idea. At no time in human history has any singular individual culminated an idea that was not serially generated by many before them. What that's saying in nerd speak is that every idea was based on past ideas, all right? Every idea is a pile of ideas. You don't own it. For example, your older brother figured out that he could eat a bag of Doritos for lunch in high school and then tell your mom that he ate a whole lunch and then pocket the extra dollar. So you then started doing it, but you added another step where you'd buy Brooke Peterson's homemade cookie from her every day because she was trying to lose weight in order to get knocked up by the quarterback of the football team, which she didn't know it at the time, but that's what happened. Then you hi, Brooke. Then you sell those cookies for 3 times the price. You walked away with the extra $3 every day because you had access to your brother's idea. Of course, you both now suffer from osteomalacia because you were living off of the pure Buffalo Ranch Doritos. Number one ingredient, Zesty. Unfortunately, Zesty does nothing for bone density. We now exist in a society where the vast majority of medicines, designs, ideas, etc. are patented or copyrighted. Yet other than undermining one person's ability to get insanely rich, there's no negative results to sharing knowledge. There is nothing to lose, and indeed an enormous amount to be gained socially by the sharing of information.
Got a need for speed, you better believe. He was born to achieve a spot at the top. It never stops, he's got a single thought vision like a cyclops. He's gonna set the new world record. Don't underestimate him yet, cause he will get the first place prize. Leave you behind like a superstar, like a jet. You'll be the last man standing. You'll be number one, first one finish. When the race is won, he won't live on the pressure. The last man standing. You'd be number one. There's a light within that burns and yearns, and it begins. And it starts stirring up a revolution. An evolution, it's time to stop searching now for a new solution. That ignites the light like he was born to fight. Cause he set his sight bright like the sun at the noonday. Come, nobody can deny him. He's number one, he'll be the last man standing. He'll be number one, first from the finish. When the race is won, he won't melt on the pressure. I'll be our own. He'll be the last man standing. He'll be number one. A condition, it's a failure to prove. A premonition waiting to come true. It's like shooting at a target with no ammunition. You knew you were through but when the superstition came true. Out of commission, tell you what you do. Put on your running shoe. Don't give up the pole position. Yeah, you be the last man standing. You've been number one, first born to finish. When the race is born, the last man standing. Oh, you'd be the last man standing. If you're number one, first born to finish. When the rest is gone, you won't miss on the pressure. I'll be our one. You'd be the last man standing. Yeah. You'd be the last man standing. You'd be number one. Imagine if all the greatest minds in the world were sharing their ideas rather than working in companies that keep their intellectual property secret. It would be a completely different planet.
At the very least, at the very least, we'd all know the correct way to open a banana. You pinch from the bottom and pull down. You don't create a goddamn mess at the base of the stem. Literally monkeys know how to do this, and then they look at each other and go, this is what separates us from the humans. So don't believe the hype that competition is everything. Collaboration is a much more useful way of gaining innovation and growth. You can take steps towards a more collaborative world yourself. Share your ideas. Leave your programming open source. Just the other day, I learned a new sexual position by studying the open source manual someone had drawn on a bathroom wall. I had no idea my foot could go there. Share the knowledge. The current frontrunner for the Democratic nomination for president, Bernie Sexy Time Sanders, introduced a bill last week to make privatized prisons illegal. Making money off of imprisoning people is one of those things you wouldn't think we need a law against. You would assume people would just know not to do it, like picking your nose at a dinner table or quoting Fox News when you're not trying to get a laugh. You know, you shouldn't need a law saying that getting rich off of locking people up is sick. It's kind of like you shouldn't need a law against bestiality. But in 31 states, there are laws against it. Clearly, there was a plague of people getting caught mid-donkey diddle or post-cow coitus and going, this may not look pretty, but it's not like there's law against it. Next, many have been saying that the number of police getting killed on the job has gone up this year because of the Black Lives Matter movement. And that would be true if it were true. Governor Scott Walker even blamed it on President Obama recently. But a few minutes of fact-checking show that 2015 is actually the safest year for police officers in 20 years. Meanwhile, police killings of citizens are at a 40-year high. However, good news, Scott Walker dropped out of the presidential race this week and returned to his lair inside a pus-covered wound, inside a dead possum's armpit, in the side of a Wisconsin highway, in a ditch filled with rest stop overflow urine. So there's that. Next! That is Martin Shkreli, a 32-year-old parasitic pig. This week, it came out that Prime Minister David Cameron put his genitals in Martin Shkreli's mouth as a secret society hazing ritual. In response, Cameron said, "This may not look pretty, but it's not like there's a law against it." Cameron has a weird British accent. He does. This slug, though, Martin Shkreli, you've probably heard a lot about him this week. He bought up the rights to a life-saving medication and overnight increased the price from $13 to $750 per pill. People will die because of this. But he just argues.
And we know these days in modern pharmaceuticals, cancer drugs can cost $100,000 or more. Rare disease drugs can cost $500,000. Mm-hmm. Daraprim is still underpriced.
Here's the thing. When you have a life-saving pill, you can almost charge anything for it, and people will try to pay. It's called extortion. You know, if you don't buy this pill, you die. But this is what you won't hear on most of the media outlets. It's not just Shkreli, all right? We live in an unfettered capitalist system that rewards sociopaths. In your regular life, there are things you care about too much to trust them to a market economy. If your mother is choking on a piece of food, you don't say to her, I'll give you the Heimlich. I know. Mom, I'll give you the Heimlich maneuver, but it'll cost you $50. If that doesn't sound like, okay. If that doesn't sound like a fair price, you're welcome to shop around. No, you don't trust your mom's life to the market economy. So there should be things in the world, that, whether it's your mother or not, that are not trusted to f***ing scumbags, including providing life-saving drugs, locking people up in jail, policing our streets, and training our citizens. That moo means moo. David, I'm looking in your direction.
Say, mister, I love the way you wear that hat. You don't know I don't think you understood me. I want to get some drivers to drive this car and that car down to Aintree. Drivers, you understand?
I might get a driver, brothers.
Who?
A driver, brothers.
Where do they live?
I live back over that way. 99.
Talk about genetic deficiencies. Isn't that pitiful? Who's picking the banjo here?
Coca-Cola and Sri Lanka is a sentence nobody expected me to say right now. Last month, Coca-Cola spilled diesel fuel into the Kalani River, contaminating the drinking water of hundreds of thousands. And unfortunately, there's been less media coverage of this tragedy than there was for the direct-to-video release of Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in Space. Here now to explain is Senior Brand Ambassador John F. O'Donnell.
Hey, guys. Hey, everybody. Hello,
Lee. How are you?
I'm great, Lee. Just living that Coca-Cola lifestyle.
You mean like obesity, diabetes, and heart disease?
No. I mean maintaining a positive, feel-good, fun-loving image worldwide, despite underneath it all partaking in so much gnarly, evil, criminal bullshit that not even my own mama could possibly love me no more.
What kind of stuff are you up to, man?
Oh, you know, the usual. Pretending I'm blind in order to get free seeing eye dogs from all the foundations that I then sell to hipster couples in Brooklyn for hundreds of dollars that I then use to purchase video game systems which I give to Amish children so I can watch them upon first play bleed out of their ear holes due to sensory overload, which makes me chuckle.
Are you serious? You're a psychopath, man.
Hey, I got nothing on Coke, man. It came out last week that they've spent nearly $120 million in the past 5 years in the U.S. alone on health and well-being partnerships / research.
Well, that sounds shady as hell, I mean, especially because you said it like this.
Well, it is shady as hell. A lot of these research groups totally downplay the role of sugary drinks in obesity. Check out Dr. Stephen Blair.
Most of the focus in the popular media and in the scientific press is, oh, they're eating too much, blaming fast food, blaming sugary drinks, and so on. And there's really virtually no compelling evidence that in fact is a cause.
Yeah, right! Just like there's no compelling evidence that guy's blood is mostly composed of salsa con queso.
Perhaps true, but it doesn't matter, Lee. You can't phase Coke. The advertising and PR is just too good. Check out its happiness truck. Filipino girl's a fully cooked pig, man. Come on. Do you really think after watching that, people are going to care about the widespread abuse? Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, Coke has also treated workers terribly. They've even been accused of killing union organizers.
It doesn't matter. Their revenue in North America for the second quarter was $5.92 billion because they increased their advertising spending by a double-digit percentage.
$5.9 billion? And they already owe... They can't pay back the $3.3 billion they owe to the IRS?
Whatever, man. They're awesome supervillains. And the thing, I dig it because in addition to my fake blind guy scam, I'm also running a con where I collect my toenail clippings and then sell them on eBay as genuine fossilized Jesus of Nazareth psoriasis flakes. If I ever get caught, I'm going to need some Coca-Cola level PR. I'll tell you what, here's what I got so far.
Pearl Jam and more, all getting together this weekend in Central Park because They have to all be together in order for the apocalypse to begin, right? Everyone knows that. No, actually, the concert is part of the Global Citizen Festival, and it's to garner attention and support for the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, which include ending poverty, ending hunger, and achieving gender equality within the next 15 years. Yes, gender equality, just like Beyonce talked about in her song, Single Ladies, which demanded men put diamond rings on the women they want to call their property. She boldly sang, if you liked it, then you should have put a ring on it. Don't be mad once you see that he won it. What a forward-thinking feminist song. Very few artists have the courage, nay, the balls, to refer to women as it. But the problem with the UN's heavily advertised sustainability goals is not Beyonce. In fact, they have 99 problems, but it ain't one. The problem is that so many levels on that joke, so many levels. The problem is that everything they plan to do in order to end poverty is predicated on the idea of huge economic growth, endless GDP increase. But of course, our planet is already collapsing under the weight of never-ending growth. This growth consists of massive wealth in the hands of a very few, while half of the planet live on less than $2 a day. Our global economy right now is set up like Val Kilmer riding on Lupita Nyong'o's shoulders. That is not sustainable. That's them right there winning their Oscar for best on-screen chemistry. And the UN's plan to end poverty, to wipe poverty off the map, is simply to feed a lot more food to Fat Kilmer. As Jason Hickel writes, of all the income generated by global GDP growth between 1999 and 2008, the poorest 60% of humanity received 5%. Given that existing ratio, it will take 207 years to eliminate poverty. And we will have to grow the global economy by 175 times its present size. So basically, the UN is saying we can end global poverty if we only had a lot more money and a lot more time. Thanks. That's like saying I would enjoy One Direction's music if only it sounded like music I liked. And we waited 207 years. And One Direction is also involved in this pro-corporate facade of an effort to end poverty. In fact, many are calling this the world's largest advertising campaign. It'll include 101,000 billboards around the globe and celebrities of all kinds. Because if Usain Bolt, Liam Neeson, and One Direction tell you to allow massive trade deals that exploit countries in order to make money for the top 1% so you can get all the money into the greedy little hands, you do it. I mean, Neeson's voice is like butter. Grizzled, jaded butter. Don't get me wrong. I don't think these celebrities are thinking, ha-ha, let's f*** the poor. Well, maybe Coldplay, but not the others. I think they're being misled into supporting something that is sticking a sexy face on a disaster in order to make a lot of money for people who already have a lot of money. So in that way, the Sustainable Development Goals are Iggy Azalea. Sexy face on a disaster. To learn about other solutions, go to therules.org. Other solutions that don't include feeding Fat Kilmer.
Special seed, I sprinkle it with sensibility from French and Hungarian snow. I linger in the sprouting until my engines fall. Then I move across the sea to European bliss, to language of poetry. Cut the cord of home.
kiss my mother's mother, look to the horizon. For home is broadened, patriotism expanded by callings from beyond. So I pack my things, nothing precious, all things sacred. I am a citizen of the planet, my laws are all projection.
Thomas Smith of Arena, Wisconsin, seen here portrayed by someone else, was awarded $35,000 last week after he was arrested by police 3 years ago for writing on Facebook, let's see, "F*** the f***ing cops, they ain't f***ed, but f***ing racist bastards and f***ing all y'all who is racist. F*** them Nigers, bitches, what you got on us, not a damn thing, so f*** off, dicks." Now, at first, I thought he had plagiarized Maya Angelou, but no, that is a Thomas Smith original. And look, we can all admit, his comments are offensive. They're offensive to police officers, bitches, aunts, Nigerians, and English teachers. But should he be arrested for any? No, he should be arrested for nothing. You see, police officers, guys, it's called freedom of speech, all right? It's your job. It's your job to protect people like Smith, not arrest him. That's your job. Your f***ing job is to remind people that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can something. You get it? And furthermore, if you plan on arresting everyone who says ignorant s*** on Facebook, then you will be exhausted, and there will be no more Facebook. Enforcement agency, DEA agents claim to be the front line of the war on drugs, but they're actually distributing drugs, failing drug tests, and acting naughtier than a chimpanzee being kept as a pet when it reaches that age where it doesn't care if you put clothes on it because it's an animal, okay? It's like, I'll eat your face off wearing culottes. I don't give a f***. Here with more is senior drug sommelier, Abby Feldman. Abby! How are you doing, Abby?
Not good, Lee. The DEA is corrupt, which means the war on drugs is bogus, which means drugs are no longer taboo, which was the only reason drugs were fun in the first place, so now drugs are boring and life has lost all meaning.
I agree. It does seem that the pot was more fun when you had to hide it and sneak away.
Yeah, I mean, heroin without consequences is like watching a movie with the lights on. I mean, where's the mystique?
Where are you doing heroin without consequences?
Places.
Look, DEA agents aren't even trying to keep up appearances anymore, it seems. I mean, they've even engaged in sex parties with prostitutes paid for by drug cartel money.
Yeah, but those officers were punished. Some received a 2-day suspension. Which is nice, because after all that sex partying, they must have been drained.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. In the 6% of misconduct cases that do call for termination, most employees are then reinstated anyway. The DEA is like a broken whack-a-mole where it's you whack one and then the same mole comes back, and also he's using your own tax dollars to fund his prostitute parties.
You should probably get that mole checked out. But so what? DEA agents handcuffed college student Daniel Chong, then forgot about him and left him in a holding cell without food or water for 5 days. I mean, that could happen to anyone. Look.
Abby, he suffered permanent brain damage from that.
No, he's always been that way.
No, I meant before.
No, always. But don't worry, I was punished. You know, I received the same punishment as those 6 DEA officers. I was given a letter of reprimand.
Well, okay. What about this? Every year, the DEA seizes tens of millions of dollars in cash and goods. They also use NSA surveillance. They tap into that. They have a fleet of over 100 of their own surveillance planes.
Yeah, but if you have nothing to hide, What are you worried about, Lee? Or are those cherry tomato plants in your backyard really marijuanas?
Tomatoes don't grow on pot plants.
You seem to know an awful lot about pot. Doobie-doer. And besides, the DEA are good people.
Abby, they're locking everyone up for what? For what? A marijuana arrest is made every 45 seconds in the U.S. Every 45 seconds.
Like every 45 seconds on the dot?
No, it's an average, Abby. It's an average. You take all of them and you
divide. Do they wait until it's been 45 seconds and then they...
Yeah, and then if they miss it, they have to come back 45 seconds later. Yeah, yeah. The point is, the war on drugs costs us a lot of money. The DEA is arresting people for a substance that is practically legal nationwide now, is stealing people's money and engaging in serious misconduct, including drug cartel sex parties, and they get to keep their jobs for all this.
Yes, that's it, Lee. They shouldn't be fired from their jobs. They should be fired in kilns after I've sculpted them into statues because they're my idols. Did I tell you I started my own religion?
Abby, are you high?
I can't feel your face.
We were young souls on the junkyard. City light, flashlights when we fall into that night. Focused on what you feel, just when you were calling, I love that night. And we were bound to the city light, flashlights when we fall into that night. Focused on what you feel, just when you were calling, I love that night.
Bound to the city light, flashlight.
denying it. Times are getting tougher. Environmental destruction is getting greater. Economic instability is growing. And your retirement plan, which had consisted of selling that X-Men number one comic you had in your basement, is now non-existent because your spouse used it to jot down a fucking grocery list. That bitch never respects your things. And you may think that was an anti-woman joke, but that hypothetical couple was two men, all right? So stick that in your heteronormative pipe and smoke it. I mean, you still smoke a pipe, for God's sakes. How patriarchal can you be? The point is, the world is getting uglier, and these are crucial times. Yet most of us are buying into ever-growing distractions, an escape into illusion. The TVs get bigger, the sound effects get louder, the women get sexier, the men... The men seem to put on more deodorant, I guess. If you think it's bad now, virtual reality is going to get insane in the next few years. Just look at these real reactions to virtual reality 3D porn.
Ugh. Is that my d***?
Wow.
Oh! Oh, man.
Watch out.
Jesus Christ.
Down.
Get me out of here.
I'm sorry, that was virtual reality 3D Ted Cruz. In a bubble bath, scrubbing Donald Trump's undercarriage. But as virtual reality gets better and better, you will be able to get truly lost in a false world, in an empty existence, void of pain, suffering, and meaning. And at that point, you will never get your stoner friend to stop going, "Dude, the Matrix is real." I've heard that if you're good, you get to be in Matrix 1. If you're sinful, you're damned forever to Matrix 3. We will soon immerse ourselves in the most intensely real fantasy world you can imagine, where you can be all the things you always wanted to be, but were never strong enough, or outgoing enough, or you were allergic to peanuts and shellfish and latex condoms. And most girls aren't cool with using f***ing lambskin condoms, okay? How are you supposed to sell that? No, it's cool, baby. It's like I'm making love to you and a dead lamb. That is the worst reincarnation ever. I can promise you no lamb is like, "When I die, I want to be wrapped around a meth head's hairy junk behind a Chevron in Des Moines and then live out the remainder of my days stuck to a car tire in Philly." And you thought factory farming was bad. I bet in their wildest dreams, the animal kingdom could never come up with the ways we abuse them. Do you ever think a lamb said to his friends, "Hey, what do you think the farmers are gonna do with us? You don't think they're gonna kill us and then wrap us around their dicks in order to stick them in other people's happy holes? Like, that's what they wouldn't do, right? Right? I mean, me skin condoms are off the table, right? Right, guys? Point is, and I think I have a point. Point is, many will want to live in this virtual real world because it will take away all of our self-doubt, which we've created by absorbing between 1,000 and 3,000 ads and brands a day. And what do commercials tell you other than to have self-doubt? Ads are saying you're not cool enough, young enough, skinny enough, fun enough, rich enough, tan enough, hairless enough, smelling like lust in cinnamon sticks enough. So we have more fear and self-doubt than ever, and virtual reality will introduce us to a world where we can be everything we want. We can all have the physique of Dwayne Johnson, but the self-confidence of someone who is able to say no to the tooth fairy. And while we're doing that, the real world will be left to be pillaged by Wall Street thugs even more than it already is. Plus, since our two-party political system is a sham illusion of choice, we will become a population lost in an illusion within an illusion. We will be nothing but useless sacks of flesh keeping the consumer economy pumping along. We will be less real than a dog or cat because at least they're walking around. As David Foster Wallace said in his now famous commencement speech, the really significant education and thinking that we're supposed to get in an institution of higher learning isn't really about the capacity to think, but rather about the choice of what to think about. You get to decide how you're going to try to see the world. You get to consciously decide what has meaning and what doesn't. You get to decide what to worship. Will we choose to think about the pressing issues of our time, climate change and drought, starvation and injustice, racism, and the fact that a minuscule number of people hold most of the world's resources? Or will we live inside a 3D virtual reality Netflix, just like regular Netflix, except your sweatpants don't have Ben and Jerry's stains because they're made out of adamantium?
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Everything's looking lovely. I see nothing but blue skies above me. There's no critics trying to clown me or judge me. And they can push all they want, but they can't budge me. You see, I'm coming from a solid foundation. We make beautiful sounds down in the basement. It's underground hip-hop on your station. We're trying to be in constant rotation. I'm in a place where there's no crime or gangsters. We're all friends, so there's no sign of strangers. There's no storms or forces of nature. There's no disease, no death, or no danger. And nobody's obese or overweight here. We eat whatever we want and still look great here. There's no need for exercise or counting calories. Plus the branches on the trees are filled with candy leaves. I'm kinda like Willy Wonka in my fairy tale, cause all you smell is vanilla, chocolate, and caramel. I ride to work on the back of a blueberry snail, and when you ask me how I am, it's always very well. See, everybody wears a smile and all the kids are happy. And even though we're all different, we're like the biggest family. When I dream, I think of places just like this. Man, to have an imagination is priceless.
We are all God's creation. Blessed with imagination.
We are blessed with imagination.
Sometimes you gotta let your mind be free. Fly in the sky or climb a tree. You'd be surprised what's inside of me and my imagination.
I found a place that's beyond belief. No sadness, pain, agony, or grief. Place where love and happiness is never brief. No stress, we can all relax on the beach. At last, we can all feast and raise a glass. No longer divided by race or class. Every cry's been replaced with a smile or laugh. Bills are paid and we still have a pile of cash. Peace on every street, never any conflicts. Politicians that do what they promise. At night you see the stars in the comets. Laid back to the sounds of the prophets. Just leave your car unlocked and parked in the driveway. In this place there's no roads or no highways. You could say that we travel through the skyways. Cause we just close our eyes and we fly away. Everything we say is like pure poetry. Every word right where it's supposed to be. No worries for my friends or my family. Cause God's watching over those that are close to me. There's no need for horoscopes or any psychics. We choose our own destiny in this life, kid. When I dream, I think of places just like this. Man, to have an imagination is priceless.
We are all God's creation, and we are blessed with imagination. Sometimes you gotta let your mind be free. Fly in the sky or climb a tree. You'd be surprised what's inside of me and my imagination.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but I think unicorns are kick-ass.